the shield of faith is your confidence in Christ. The helmet of salvation is trusting that he will help us overcome. The sword of the Spirit, it is our supreme weapon to defend us against Satan. They are to be kept in a state of readiness. In Genesis chapter 15, when God asked Abraham to leave home and the comfort of home, God knew this. Ask him to leave the comfort of home and the familiarity, the known, to an unknown location, to a place he knew nothing about. To leave the familiar, to go to the unfamiliar. To leave the security of home, to the insecure place. When he did that, he made him a promise. He made him a promise. He said, I will be your shield. Because in times of uncertainty, in times of confusion, in times of apprehension and vulnerability, the shield is the most comforting, assuring thing that you can have. I'm going to show you in a minute. In Psalm 3, David starts in verse 1 and he says, O Lord, how many are my foes? There were too many to number. He couldn't even number them. How many rise up against me? Untold number. Immediately he goes into verse 3 and he says, but you, can you say that with me?
But you
are my shield around me, O Lord. It shouldn't be a surprise, therefore. Taking up the shield of faith is one of the most important equipment that a soldier of Jesus Christ needs to have, the shield of faith. Our spiritual journey of faith, it is filled with danger. It is filled with insecurities. It is filled with uncertainties. And often, it is filled with those who wish us harm. We may not wish anybody's harm, but there are many who wish us harm. Now look at Ephesians 6:16. What is he talking about? In addition to all. The first three, permanent, non-negotiable, that must have all the time, never take off. The first three, equipment for the battle. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes of the gospel of peace. In addition to these three indispensable pieces of equipment, he says, take up the shield of faith. Why? Why the shield of faith? Because with it, you'll be able to extinguish all, how many? All flaming missiles of the evil one. And the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The first three pieces that we saw in the last message, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes of the gospel, they are permanent. They're ready at a moment's call. And that is why they go with you at home. They go with you in your office. They go with you in your car. They go with you wherever you go because you always have to have them handy. And that is why he uses those verbs. Take up, almost in the imperative, take up the shield, take up the helmet, take. See, in the Roman times, there were two common types of shield. I'm going to do some illustrations here other than the video, because these are really important items that you need to understand. There was this type of small shield. It's wrapped around with two leather belts on the arm of the soldier. This is the first type of shield. As you can see, it's a small one, and it's secured in the arm. What's the purpose of it? This shield, as I said, relatively really lightweight, and it's used to absorb the blows that the sword of the opponent will throw at you. Because remember, this was hand-to-hand combat. This is not like our modern warfare. That's the first shield. But there was another shield that the Bible talks about, which is the one, actually, the Greek word that is used here in Ephesians. This big baby here. This is the word that the Apostle Paul uses, theros. This is the big one. 3 feet in diameter, 4 or 5, sometimes it's 5 feet, but we're able to find something that's better than nothing. Can you see it on that side? I want to make sure everybody can see it. Now, this was designed to protect the entire body. Right? Can you see me? On the side, you can. You see, people were short back then. That is absolutely true. This shield is made of solid piece of wood and was covered by either metal on top of it or heavily oiled leather. Two different kinds. Now, there's a method in their madness. Just hang in there with me, okay? I want to make sure that everybody can see this, so it's not just one side. The soldiers who carried these, they were the front line soldiers. They're the front line, the theros, carriers. The shield carriers, they will stand side by side by side by side by side. There's no space between them. If there's any space, is any daylight between them, it's dangerous. So they literally stick very, very close together. And sometimes that can extend for a mile, literally, in the battle line. Now, the archers stand behind the shield carriers. And they can duck behind them, and then they get up, and then they shoot their arrows, and they duck again. Question. What is that shield of faith? Why did Paul call it the shield of faith? He's not talking about the Christian faith, because that's a belt of truth, and that is on permanently. It is not to be put on and taken off. It's permanently. Oh, but he's talking about the shield of faith is your absolute, absolute, absolute trust and confidence in Christ. Can I get a witness? He's your shield. When you trust him, he's your shield. He's your shield when you completely place your trust in him, even when you don't understand your circumstances. When your world is falling apart, you trust him. Yes. When the doctor gives you a bad report, you trust him. When your business is struggling, you trust him. So what are these flaming arrows then? These flaming arrows. What they do, it's the tips of the spear or the arrow. They wrap it in a cloth. And they dip the cloth in pitch. And just before they throw it, I'm not going to do it, don't panic. As you say, no, I said, wait a minute, I'm not going to throw it. Just before they throw it, they light it up. an inflammable missile shoot at the enemy. If that inflatable arrow hits a person, it flames everything inside because of that pitch that already on the cloth, but also causes a lot of hurt, a lot of damage. Oh, but thank God, for when Satan's inflammable arrows are thrown at us, they're going to hit the shield. They're going to hit the shield. And they're going to hit the shield. And either it's going to fizzle out or hindered from touching us. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Give God praise. This covering, because it's metal or made of really hard leather, they're going to deflect. They're going to extinguish the flame. So what are these flaming arrows in practical life? What are they on a daily basis? What are these flaming arrows? Listen to me. What are these flaming arrows that Satan constantly tempting us with? Covetousness, pride, anger, envy, hatred, doubt, fear, despair, but above all, distrusting in God, distrusting in His provision, distrusting in the fact that He'll keep His promises. The first flaming arrows that Satan ever lobbed was in the Garden of Eden, first at Eve and then Adam and Eve. And you know what was? He got them to believe his lie, and distrust the truthfulness of God. That was the first arrow. And it got them. And oh, beloved, He's been doing that ever since. He's been doing that ever since. He's now doing it with vengeance. In my lifetime, in the 52 years of ministry, He is doing this now, in particularly in Western culture and in our society, with vengeance. You see them all over the place, attacking even some churches, and pastors are absorbing these arrows because they don't have that shield. You see them all over the place. These are the arrows that are shooting so many preachers and so many theologians all over the place. They're falling all over the place. The only way to extinguish Satan's flaming missile when it's tempting us to doubt God and to doubt the Word of God and to disbelieve God is stop. And say, Lord, I'm sorry how I can distrust You when You died on the cross for me. And that is why Paul began this passage by reminding us that our struggle is not with flesh and blood. It's not with people. It is with the evil one, the vile one, the wretched one. The shield of faith is vitally important. Secondly, the helmet of salvation. I got all kinds of tools today. I don't normally do that. That's actually, there are also two kinds of helmets back then. There was one that is made of hard leather and covered with metal. But then there was this one that's totally metal. Hammered. Beloved, listen to me. There is no sane soldier ever goes to the battle without the helmet. The very fact that God's Word called it the helmet of salvation. Not any old helmet, it's the helmet of salvation. Why does it call it the helmet of salvation? Because when Satan swings his sword and directs it at the believer's security in Christ and brings doubt about their salvation. Satan, two-edged sword, is aiming both at discouraging us and causing us to doubt God. He loves to discourage us to the point of sinning and doubting God. Are you with me? Oh, to be sure, I do get discouraged from time to time. Wouldn't be truthful otherwise. I do get discouraged, absolutely. But would that discouragement lead me to doubt? Absolutely not. To doubt the love of God, the grace of God, the saving power of God? No! Why? Because my salvation is not dependent on me and my mood and my feelings and even my circumstances. My salvation is dependent on God's faithfulness. Praise God. Give Him praise. Listen to me. From Satan's point of view, I'm talking from Satan's point of view, the battle is never over. There is no ceasefire with him. Sometimes I think that after a great victory experience that God has blessed me with, and I say, now I can relax and let my guards down. Wrong. In fact, that's exactly when he's plotting his next one. The moment you think that you're safe from his schemes, he is planning and plotting the next scheme, the next discouragement. He is. But not only discourage us in our own situation, but sometimes Satan discourages when we see other brothers and sisters in Christ, other believers are suffering and they're going through trials. Other times, we get discouraged when we have prayed for the salvation of a loved one and God hasn't answered. And you prayed, and you prayed. And I know some people through the years have said to me, what's the use? I said, as long as you have breath, never, never, never stop interceding for them. God has a plan for them. Don't ever give up on Him. Hear me right, please. Trusting in Jesus immediately saves you from the penalty of sin. From the penalty of sin. But daily trusting in Jesus is daily salvation. Assures you, assures me that we are no longer slaves to sin. But we also, he assures us of eternal life in heaven with Jesus the moment we close our eyes in death. As I said, the Bible speaks about salvation in three tenses, past, present, and future. And that helmet of salvation is for all three. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, swords back then came in all kinds of shapes and forms and sizes. I used to think with just one size, but it really isn't. There are a variety. Because they fought hand-to-hand combat. In fact, it's the primary weapon that is used in hand-to-hand combat and is carried in a sheath that is attached to the belt. And the reason the Apostle Paul calls it the sword of the Spirit, which can be translated by the Spirit or a spiritual sword, because it's a spiritual weapon. Are you with me? It is a spiritual weapon. Don't be tempted to think of it in a physical realm. It is a spiritual sword, and it is used in spiritual battles to fight a spiritual enemy. But don't miss this. Don't miss this. The sword of the Spirit is a defensive and offensive. That's the only piece of equipment in this whole armor of God, the full armor of God, that can be used both ways. It is capable of deflecting the blows of the opponent and It is our supreme weapon to defend us against the onslaught of Satan. And that's why when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, you remember, it's very familiar to most of you, when he was tempted in the wilderness, Satan tried to do what some preachers do today, twist the word of God to suit himself. He really did. He was trying to twist the word of God. But Jesus kept on using correctly the word of God. And he fought him and he won because he used the word of God accurately. When it is faithfully taught, when it's faithfully preached, when it's faithfully instructed in the homes, it brings judgment on falsehood and transforms people. How? How does it transform people? Transform them from the realm of falsehood to the realm of faith and truth, from the realm of darkness to light, from the realm of sin and death to righteousness and life. It turns sadness into gladness. It turns despair into hope. It turns stagnation into growth. It turns failure into success. Every time God's word is used accurately, it leads a person to salvation. It gives witness to its power. And it cuts a swath through Satan's kingdom of darkness and brings light of Christ into a lost soul.
Receive insightful biblical teaching from Dr. Michael Youssef anytime with the Leading the Way audio and video podcasts, now on all your favorite podcast platforms. Whether at home, in the car, or on the go, you can listen to the daily radio broadcasts or dive into the weekly TV program, all at your fingertips. Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth, Leading the Way audio and video podcasts are available now on all major podcast platforms. Subscribe today. Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth, Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef thanks you for your faithful support through your continued prayers and gifts.